So now, switching gears, this presentation, this research project, was looking at our patient characteristics upon initial presentation to a chiropractic teaching clinics. This was a descriptive study conducted at one university, being Logan in this case. I was the principal investigator on this with my co-researchers Cheryl Honk, and then Michelle Anderson also was included on this project. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, in the literature, academic teaching clinics, the primary purpose is to prepare students as primary care chiropractic physicians upon graduation, to give them experience in diagnosing and managing a diverse population of patients. In 2013, Hodges reported that non-musculoskeletal cases were greater than musculoskeletal cases in the student clinic when compared to practicing chiropractors. And in 2012, and I think Dana was also on this paper, or no, I'm sorry, you were on the Hodges paper, weren't you? Yes, I'm sorry. 2012, in Alignia and Muir, they found similarities between teaching clinic patients and field practitioners. So that's what the literature has shown so far. Key components in both studies was it's important for students to experience a variety of cases and conditions during their clinical learning opportunities, so we prepare them for their practice outside of the university. So the purpose of this current research was to compare the new patient population at our fee-for-service clinics, not our free clinics or the community-based clinics. That'll be an upcoming discussion, but this was at our fee-for-service clinics. We are comparing that to the patient population of U.S. chiropractors in terms of demographics and chief complaints. And we also looked at the prevalence of common risk factors, obesity and hypertension, always one of my favorite topics when it comes to educating our students. So the question we asked, and this was not a hypothesis-driven study, but a question we were keeping in mind was, do the students have adequate opportunities to diagnose and manage patients similar to those they will see in their future practice? By the way, this is the full text, if you have questions, is in the JCE, the current JCE also. This was approved by Logan's IRB. The data was obtained exclusively from our electronic health records, so therein lies the limitations, and we'll get to that eventually. This was done October 1 through October 31st of 2013. So the variables of interest we looked at, our clinic site, we looked at the patient demographics in regards to the sex or the gender, the age, and the race, ethnicity, looked at blood pressure and BMI. We also looked at the chief complaint, and that was the primary diagnosis listed first by the students, and then the data was entered into our SPSS system. We did do a double entry verification program to make sure that the information we obtained was accurate. What were our results then? We looked at 224 subjects. There were 122 out of our main clinic, 102 in the three satellite clinics. So on the right-hand side, this is the practice analysis, which Dr. Hyland's very familiar with, I believe, well, as many of you are, but he actually was on that analysis. And so we compared to the practice analysis. Again, in the full text, there's a lot more things we looked at, but these were the things I thought were notable and actually would fit on a slide so that you could read. We had 106 females as opposed to, which was 47.3%, which in the practice analysis of 2010, more in line of 60-61% white. We had the majority, our highest percentage were white patients, and then African Americans, we only looked at 7.1 as opposed to practice analysis of 14, and then you can see also we were heavy on the end of 18 to 30 year olds, and we'll talk about maybe some reasons for those, mainly being that we do have two sports clinics in two of those satellite clinics, so that might have that brings in more of the younger, the 18 to 30-year-olds. And then also there was a difference between the 51 to 64-year-olds. That's the majority in the practice analysis. Not the majority, but that's higher in the practice analysis. Race ethnicity was only in the 2005 report. BMI, which we looked at also, we recorded for 82% of the patients 18 and older, and we found that 31% were overweight, and that puts them BMI of 25 to 29.9, and then 29% were obese, which is the BMI in the 30-plus range, in comparison to 36% of the U.S. adults. Reason for that, there again, maybe it has something to do with our sports clinic having having individuals who are more health conscious. You know, obviously there's a lot of things we can look at there. BP was recorded for 89% of the patients 18 and older, and 8% of those were stage 1 or 2 hypertension in comparison to 33% of the U.S. population. Again, a possible explanation could be that our patients were medicated, and so that had to do with that result. There again, they're just possibilities. As far as chief complaint goes, I highlighted in red some of the things that stood out to me. Lower extremity, we were seeing 21% in the practice analysis. They look at more like 9%. Head and facial chief complaints, 7.1 in comparison to 12. And then wellness patients, we really need to work more in that area. In my opinion, 1.8% as opposed to what they'll see in practice analysis or what they show in the practice analysis of 8%. And some of that could be, again, we can make some guesses why we're only seeing 1.8, but remember, this was what brought them into the clinic. This was their primary chief complaint. And so we are under the assumption, or the hope at least, that once we get them in as a patient, maybe they came in with some other complaint, that then we can get them into the wellness category. ICD-9 codes. Low back, soft tissue, neck, you'll see over in the left-hand column there. And then our percentage, the most common definitions under all of those. And low back being the main ICD-9 code. So the background of the fee-for-service clinics, I think that's important when we look at some of these statistics. So our internships begin in year 3. Our interns are 91% white, non-Hispanic, 66% male. The students are assigned their clinic through a lottery process, and they're assigned now very early on. I think they're pulling their ticket to what clinic they're at way back in Tri-5 now, so they can start recruiting patients and start thinking about where, if they need to move and that kind of thing, to be closer to the clinic. These clinics are located in the suburbs of the large metropolitan area. Complementary care is given to first responders. Since 9/11/2001, we now give free service to police officers, firefighters, emergency medical technicians, and returning military. And 2 of our clinics, as I mentioned earlier, have large sports and rehab centers. So what are the limitations to this research? The information was obtained through the EHR. So that brings up, was that accurately input into the system, because you are working with students at that point, obviously followed up with the clinicians, but there could be some error there. It is secondary data. Month selected may not be typical. October may not be a typical time for these patients. Maybe we could have had a larger, and if we would have taken a different month and a more typical month. Categorization of chief complaints may have differed from those constructed by the practice analysis of 2010. And then statistical comparisons between our data and the practice analysis couldn't be made because we don't have access to that practice analysis data. Results may not be generalized to patient populations of other chiropractic institutions. So in conclusion, there are dissimilarities between the demographics and clinical characteristics of our new patients at the fee-for-service clinics, compared to those seen in chiropractic practices throughout the United States in accordance with the 2010 report. So bridging gaps between the teaching clinic opportunities and what field practitioners are seeing may be considered where opportunities are limited, and that's where I like to always think that I can help bridge those gaps, and using standardized patients, clinical simulations, and provide greater opportunities to access also to the community health centers. At this point, that is not something that is required, that they work at all of these facilities. So there is another opportunity that we could utilize to get these students more experience managing and diagnosing more complicated cases. And there are my references.